Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable to you this day. Amen. Today we are continuing the parable of the sower. And so we hear this in the Gospel of Matthew, beginning at chapter 13. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. Such great crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat there, while the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell on the path, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and when they sprang up, since they had no depths of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Let anyone with ears listen." This is the word of the Lord. Some of you, I think, know that I grew up in Idaho. And so here's a quiz for you all, a geography quiz. Idaho is famous for its... I love that. The Idaho Potato Commission would be so pleased. My sister did the stereotypical thing, which is she married a potato farmer. And she moved to southeast Idaho to live on the farm. And occasionally, I got to visit her during the summers. And I could earn a little extra cash over the summer by working on the farm. I remember one summer, I had to paint the chicken coops for 50 cents an hour. And it was a nasty job. That sticks with me. I also have a distinct memory of going out to the fields to change pipe. So twice a day, we would need to go out into the fields to manually maneuver the irrigation systems. And like you can kind of tell in the inset there, one end of the irrigation pipe had an engine to it, so you could start that up, and then the whole system would roll along. And you just have to mind it to make sure that it rolled in a straight line through the furrows. And we do that twice a day to make sure the crops were adequately watered. And while we were out there, we would often pick a little something for supper. Maybe it would be some new potatoes or some fresh peas, because the family also had pea acreage. And I took pride in knowing that my extended family was partly responsible for growing those famous Idaho potatoes. What I learned, however, is that they did not grow potatoes or peas for food. They grew them for seed. And that didn't make a whole lot of sense to me. I couldn't understand why you would spend the effort to grow potatoes only to give them to other people to grow potatoes that you'd already just grown. And that didn't resonate with me. But what these business-savvy farmers, the Moritz family, taught me is that there is a lot of money to be had in seeds. One seed potato plant can make another plant with many more potatoes. And so my family's farm, hundreds of acres, and yet still considered to be a small family farm, could make more money by selling seed potato plants than they could as if they were going to sell the potatoes themselves. They would sell them to the larger farms that also had a significant distribution system. For the Moritz family, their whole livelihood was this precious commodity of seeds. Now, last week, Pastor Cheryl also talked about seeds and the value of seeds. And today we're going to shift a little bit because we want to focus on the sower, the farmer who planted those seeds. We read in the scripture from Matthew about the sower who planted in good soil, as he should have, because that's where the harvest will be abundant. But we also have to question, I think, the judgment of this sower who didn't just plant in good soil. He took this precious commodity and he just scattered it willy-nilly on the hard path and in the thorns and the weeds. If this sower were motivated only by profit, he would never waste seed by throwing it in places where it was not likely to grow. That's way too risky. So this farmer must have had other motivations beyond profit. And if we want to understand what the sower was doing, we have to look for those other motivations. As we read together in our assurance of pardon, a farmer with different motivation might behave in this risky way. A sower who wanted more than anything to see the seed burst open might behave in this way. A farmer who was willing to give everything, even his own life, for the prospect that there might be a sprout would do this. This seed in Matthew's gospel, the seed of the gospel, is an invitation to abundant life in Christ. In your own life, you might not always feel like you are fertile soil. Sometimes you're going to be plagued with questions and doubts, and you get distracted by the worries of the world. And you are, in essence, battling the concrete paths and the weeds and the thorns in your own life. And that's okay, because this good news is offered freely, wildly, recklessly for you, no matter where you are right now in your relationship with God. And that is indeed good news. But having received that invitation into abundant life, we are moved to behave differently, right? If Christ gave his life that there might be salvation for all, how can we be stingy with it? How dare we be stingy with it? You have the seeds of the invitation to abundant life in your possession right now. And sometimes those seeds take the form of words of hope that you speak to someone who needs to hear that hope. Or sometimes it'll take the form of care that you offer to one another. And sometimes it takes the form of money. Not the kind of money that makes Jesus angry and causes him to want to overturn tables in the temple, but the kind of money that does amazing ministry right here. It's mission. It's the way you care for people who are sick and hungry. It's vibrant worship so that all may hear the gospel proclaimed. It's the Bible study that you do so that you can be more faithful disciples. It's your fellowship with one another. It's the education of your children that they too might know the love of Christ for them and that abundant life promised in the seed. Your money, through your gifts to the church, make all that possible. And your gifts to the church offer abundant life to all who enter here and to all those whom you reach through your extended ministries. I have often heard it said that giving to the church is a foolish way to invest your money. And it is. If your motivation is profit, then this is not the place to invest. if you want to play it safe and count your seeds out and test the soil to make sure to guarantee that you are going to have an abundant harvest, then there are much better options for you. And it's not because the church isn't a good steward of your money. It is. It's because we follow a Savior who sowed with abandon. Ministry is risky. Giving as a form of discipleship is our response to the abundant, boundless grace that we have received in Christ. We don't always know whether the seeds that we sow will bear fruit in our time, but we sow anyway. We scatter the seeds of invitation far and wide in unlikely places, in places where there is no hope, in places where there is despair and isolation, in places where all we get back is rejection and hostility. We follow a Savior who sowed with abandon, and the seed within us sprouted. Not because we are perfect soil, but because Christ sowed that seed so widely that it was able to reach us. I am excited by the ministries at Crossroads Presbyterian Church, and I'm excited for you in your pastoral transition. You are sowing the seeds of invitation widely across the denomination for pastors who may want to come and serve with you. You're scattering wide the invitation of hope and wholeness by your support of mission workers around the world. And you are nurturing the sprouts that we call our children. Those are all good things. As the time comes for you to make your pledges for the coming year, I invite you into the abundant life that is here and in all those places that you reach. I hope you will join Christ in the hope for sacred life to sprout. So generously, wildly, with abandon, you will be amazed at the harvest that God reaps. Amen.